On the seventh day, God rested. Who is this God that we serve that even he understands rest? And what is rest? This week for me has been this eye-opener. Rest is not a lazy place. Rest is a biblical necessity that God not only told us to do, but practice himself. Rest is not ceasing from doing everything. Rest is an escape from you being emotionally, mentally, or any other way involved with things that are beyond your control anyway. I began to really look at the whole, and I know the message is supposed to be finished last week. This could be the synopsis. I begin to look at rest different. Rest is ceasing from being concerned. And it hit me, a scripture I read my whole life and never understood was all about rest. Why take thought for ye what you will eat or what you will drink? For your heavenly Father knows you have need of these things. Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? Look at the flowers of the field. They rest, yet your heavenly Father. Look at the birds of the air. They don't toil, nor do they spin. They rest. Yet your Father provides for them. And it became clear to me, rest and seek ye first the kingdom were synonymous. Rest is the opposite of worry. I don't know if you're hearing me. Rest is the opposite of worry. Rest is the opposite of concern. Rest is the opposite of trying to figure out things that were never made for you to figure out. Amen. God's provision, I don't know if you're ready to hear this, but God's provision for you and how he provides for you was never designed for you to figure out. It's a demonic trick that is pulled us into that realm, but God promised to take care of you and for you to do all the stuff you do to try to figure out how you can take care of yourself is a deception. It's the opposite of rest. I'll tell you what I mean by that. He said, look at the birds of the air. They don't toil, neither do they spin, yet your Father feeds them. He didn't say the birds just sit there in the nest and God drops stuff in the nest, but what he said is, the birds go out to do what they do with the understanding that they'll find what they're supposed to find. You got that? They don't say, I don't know. It's a lot of competition out there. There's a lot of birds. I don't know if we qualify to get worms like some of them, you know. They got more education. You know, they got degrees in worm catching. It's tough out there. They get up in the morning and they head out with the intention of providing and expect God to give them the gift to provide. I'm looking at rest from a broader picture now. And I taught the message, I shared the revelations, but now I'm standing back and watching how the fruit manifests. Turn that up a little bit, please, Edwidge. Here's what I'm saying. You've been gifted with talents and abilities. Everybody in this room. Are you listening to me?
Yes.
And then you've been taught to spend your life. We've been taught. You're listening to me?
Yes.
You sure? We've been taught to prioritize those gifts and developing those gifts until they create a wealth that we're believing for. Am I saying wrong? Do I need to explain that? Do you understand what I'm saying? If you have a talent and a gift, the first thing you're told to do is go to school now, learn more about that gift, cultivate that gift, get degrees in that gift, be more proficient in that gift, and eventually that gift will feed you. You got a God-given gift. That now you got to surrender to man to cultivate that gift before that gift will make room for you like God's word said it would. So basically you took something that God gave you perfectly and you surrender it to the system for them to mess with it and flip it around over 10 years and you wind up with $100,000 worth of debt to give back to you what God gave you perfect from the beginning, and now you got to go out and make a living with the thing that God gave you originally. After everybody's touched it, molested it, spit on it, pooped on it, gave their opinion to it, and screwed it over from what God originally gave you as your gift. And your gift makes room for you, not your education. Your education is added, but education can be added as you pursue your gift. So, God began to say to me, look at the perversion of your gift. Look at who's been able to critique your gift. Touch your gift, pollute your gift, twist your gift, try to make your gift line up with their gift. And then they give you back something that was never what God gave you and said, now go forward. You act. You do hair. Did you go to school for that? No. Let's do that. No, we're having a real conversation, right? But you knew how to do it before you had to get the be certified by man that you could do it. Your gift. Then there's people who go to school to get licensed and they stink. They can't do it. Can't do it to save their lives. But went to school for it. I know people who have degrees in engineering and sound design. And it takes me 10 minutes to do what it takes them hours and days and weeks to do. And they still can't do it right. And I never took a class. If I knew then what I know now, but I'm confident in this. God called Moses. God called Abraham. God called Zechariah and his wife. When they were mature enough to get all their own young stupidity and reason and logic out the way. It's something about when you get old enough to be tired of trying to do everything in your own strength that God can use. I feel like I'm teaching something today. If I could take everything that we've talked about in these past couple of months and put it in the basket, this is this. Every gift that you have has to go back to its original source. I've taught it over and over again, but it has a different meaning to me today. Learning is easy. It's unlearning all that other junk now that we've added to it that becomes a problem. It's the unlearning. It's the things that we put on ourselves by allowing somebody else to speak to God's voice over you. You let somebody, you needed somebody to confirm that what you heard was God, and they confirmed only what they heard, because they can't confirm what you heard, but to a certain degree, because what God says to you is for your spirit. So here's where I am. I'm stepping back. I'm taking a look at all the gifts that always worked naturally for me and how many times I've turned them over to someone else for their opinion, only to have them take me on this long journey to wind up back where God originally called me to be. How many of you, and I'm just speaking from my heart today, how many of you right now, honestly in your heart, say, I really need to see my gift in its original form again? That's the whole house. Then I speak over you right now as the spiritual leader of this house. I prophesy and speak over you right now. I confess over you right now total freedom from every lie and every roadblock and everything that has been put in the way to confuse you in the area of your calling and your gifts and your abilities and what God has called you to do in this life. I come against all fear. I come against inferiority. I come against every doubt and reservation that comes either from somebody else or from you yourself, letting somebody else take from you what God has called you to. And I pray right now that the chains are destroyed and that your heart, no matter what your age is free to soar from this moment forward. Father God, we repent to you for allowing the world to dictate beyond and above you in our lives. And we make a decision today that we will see. You said if we lack wisdom, you would ask, you would give it to us liberally, and you would not find fault, you would not upbraid. And so we come to you in faith, nothing wavering, saying, this is a simple request, Father God. Restore to us the dreams and visions of our youths and the way that you plan for them to be. Not just what we let other people do, but what we've done ourselves to limit you to our abilities. We surrender today and we stand back and we watch you do what only you can do. I speak over each and every person in this place and everybody listening and watching online that from this moment forward, we will begin to see clearly who we are by your definition, Father, and your definition alone. And we thank you, Lord God, that even the pride and arrogance that we put up as defenses to cover our own fears, we release. Even the egotism that we've stood on and try to pretend that I only need Jesus and still won't go forward, we surrender to you today. We don't want anything to do with the emotional aspects of this. We just want your spirit. And we receive your spirit today. And we accept it in the name of our Savior Jesus. And the people who believe with that said,
amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen.
I may not have much more to say, but I will say this. This is the turning point. And if you remember a few weeks back, I said, this is the final phase of things. Remember I said, this is that year of accomplishment. And what we're going to walk through in this season is going to be those final foundational things that everything else can rest itself on. If you don't remember it, go back a couple of weeks and listen. So we're here. It's about trust. It's about rest. Rest is not sitting around not knowing what to do. Rest is doing what you know to do and knowing that God will take care of everything else. Hallelujah. And that's a process because the flesh don't want to shut up. The mind don't want to shut up. The people around you don't want to shut up, especially Christians. Christians never shut up. They always got to have a spiritual revelation about everything. You know, sometimes it's okay to just say, I don't know. I just know God said it, and so that's what I'm doing. So how are you going to get this? I don't know. I've stood in front of you many weeks and surrendered my dilemmas to you, and I say, you want to know the answer? And you say, yeah. And I say, I don't know yet. When I know, I'll tell you. Because at that moment, it's submitted to God. And watch this. I'm at the place that I'm at total peace now. Saying, I don't know. But I feel good. Because by my spirit, trust. My heart knows well. I may not know what the next step is. But my heart's at rest. Because I know that I've reconfirmed where I am. What God has called me to. Where I've come from. And now I remember where I'm going and everything else that comes across. This is a picture that just comes in my spirit. I live up there in the mountains. There used to be a time if we came down, it's 447. And if you came down that block, certain time of the year, ducks would be crossing the street and it would be a whole herd of them. And so you just had to sit there. Or you're going to be a beast and run the ducks over, and then, you know, the whole town will probably chase you down and beat you. Right? You know? You're just going to sit there, and you're just going to wait. And you can't get out and blow your horn. That ain't going to move the ducks faster. They're going to take their time. They're going to cross the road like we was here, and you're here now, and you just wait till we cross. So we sit there. And you can do one or two things. You can get frustrated because the ducks are taking so long. Or you can just enjoy the beauty of the ducks crossing the street. Knowing that once they move, you're still going where you're going. Some of you are going to catch that later. You can sit there and get frustrated and cry and go, Lord, why me? Or you just can say, God, where I'm going is still there. It hasn't moved. My destination is still where you said it was. So I'll just enjoy the ducks. Are you okay over there?
I'm wondering.
Okay. But you understand what I'm saying?
Yes, I do.
I don't want you to be distracted and miss that because you're visual. So I want to make sure you get the picture. It's the things that happen and go by in life, let them go by. Let them go by. Even the good stuff. Don't get caught up in it. Let it go by. See, when they saw Jesus transfigured, they got caught up in the good stuff. They said, let's stay here. You understand? So because there was a moment, see, don't look at me like this. Because there's a moment they decided that that was the move of God and they want to live in that moment. But that wasn't the destination. That was just a moment. So don't get caught up in good or bad moments. Keep your eye on destination. Jesus came to go to the cross. He never lost sight of that. I want you to think about this. Jesus started out with his few disciples, walking around, going to some places they reject him, like his own home, traveling here, traveling there. Before you knew it, he had concert people following him. His social media following was through the roof, And every time he showed up, everybody was there. Think about this, right? So here's Jesus. I didn't mean to choke nobody. So here's Jesus, right? He is at the peak of ministry. Casting out demons, raising people from the dead. He showed up from the town, people pushing through to touch the hem of his garment. Superstar. Yet he never lost sight of why he was there. Even when his number one follower said, "No, you should not die. I rebuke you." If Jesus wanted to just take it easy with his fan group, he could have. But he remembered what he was there for. So he said, get thee behind me, Satan, for you are not concerned about the things of God, but the things of man. Hear what your pastor just said. Right now in resting, I'm realizing that I need to hear the things of God and not the things of man. I'm talking to you. Even the things that I like can't become a distraction. Even the things that look like my dreams are all coming true can't be a distraction. Rest is the ability to step back and say, if it's going the way I want it to go, or it is not, as the old folk would say, it is well with my soul. Yeah. With my soul, with my soulish man, with my emotions, with my feelings, with my logic, not with my spirit. Spirit's good. The soul is the issue, right? No matter what the case, I rest in you, because the destination you spoke is still my destination. The sheaves bowing, the father and the brother sheaves bowing before Joseph's sheave was something he saw as a child. He had a lot of duck crossings. But at the end, the destination spoke. For though it tarry, the vision is for the appointed time. But though it wait, you rest. For in the end, it will speak, and it will not lie. All the promises of God are
amen.
Yes, and so be it. Here's where we rest from this day forward. On the promises of God. You know who you are. We had the homework. You did the homework. You all know. I asked you to show me, and you all know what you're called to be. Am I correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so since we have that covered, we are going to vow today that we'll never worry about it again.
Amen.
So your accountability partners that you've been talking to, now you've got to make each other stay accountable to rest. So are you doing it? So are you going? So are you reaching out? So are you going? It's so funny because I think it was Thursday or Friday, Lindsay said, "So are you going to the doctor or not?" And I said, "I'm healed. Healed people don't need to go to the doctor." She said, "Amen." I know what the outcome was for me. It was what? What was it? What was it? No, I'm talking about what was happening to my body. That wasn't the outcome. Listen to the question, honey, the question. We have this conversation all the time. Listen to what your husband is saying. Hear me first. There it is. Here. I had a destination. It was I'm healed. My destination wasn't the doctor. That wasn't my destination, not in my spirit. Doctor was plan C or D. My destination was being healed. So as she thought that I was dragging my feet and putting it off, and I know how you are, and I'm like, you don't really know how I am, because I'm not dragging my feet because I'm scared of doctors. I'm taking my time because I got a better doctor. I'm waiting for him to get back. I know he's going to call back. I know he got the message. I know he's working it out already. Beyond my ability to see or know, I know he's doing it. Oh, babies. It's just that simple. No, I know. I know my daddy heals. That word, he will provide. I didn't even know what it meant. I just said it. I didn't associate it with car or anything else. It was just a word. Tell him that. Right, because anytime the fears and worries try to come, you can say, he will provide. And that's the banner that you set up.
Yeah.
That's the standard that they raised when they marched Israel. That's your standard. He will provide. I can rest in that. Pastor, I want to move. Pastor, I need to get a new car. Pastor, I need to do this. Pastor, I need... Okay. You telling me what you need, but tell me what you expect. So what's really... Listen, I will say this, but then, and then I'll wrap. What's really funny about this Holy Wakanda thing, right? So... I have the Amazon, you know, and you put an order, so it reorders every 3 months, whatever, whenever you run out. So I put this thing on here so that it keeps reordering all this time. And now I'm saying, God, I feel real stupid because, you know, you healed me. So I need to cancel all these orders because I don't need it. But that was me figuring, okay, well, God don't want me on drugs, but he want me on natural medicine for the rest of my life. See, people don't like to admit that they think this stuff, but I thought that. Well, I'll be on medication for the rest of my life, but it won't be medication, it'll be herbs. So in my mind, you're looking at me, you don't want to hear what I got to say right now. In my mind, God wasn't going to heal me. He was going to keep me through herbs. Come on, aren't we guilty?
Yeah.
Don't we give God these ways out so we can say, Lord, it's good. He's keeping me through holy basil and ashwagandha. Hey, glory to Jesus. And I looked up this other thing, and now I'm taking that. And God's like, okay. Okay, I'm the healer. I'm not the keeper of your symptoms.
Amen.
Am I ticking anybody off a little bit? A little bit? Somebody said, mm-hmm. It's okay. It's good. Because it's not about how weak your faith is. It's about how we trust God. That's it. And if it ain't to that place yet, we're on the road. We're on the road. So I'll end it with this. You listening?
Yes.
We're in this world, but we're not of this world. So as life happens around you, don't try to keep jumping in and change the stream. Let life do what life does. Keep your focus on what God said he's doing.
Amen.
Never lose focus of that. Everything around you is designed to take your focus off the promise of God. Everything that happens around you is designed to take your eye off the prize. Everything, Peter walking on the water, looking at Jesus, he beheld the waves beginning to sink. Everything is designed to take his eye off the word. It wasn't he took his eye off Jesus. People say he took his eye off Jesus. That's why. No, he took his heart off of the word. He said, if it's you, Lord, bid me come. God gave him the word come. And that word come was all he needed. And he saw the waves and the wind, and he all of a sudden forgot that Jesus said he could come. So if the Lord has told you to come to anything, be it your business, your career, your dreams, your ambitions, your whatever, your health, your healing, whatever, let the ducks cross. Don't lose sight. Yeah, you could cross this. You could cross. Go ahead. But when, ooh, that's a pretty color one right there. Oh, that's nice. As soon as that's over, I'm still heading that way. Amen.